I have Angie McAvoy and Joanne Feddison from the Andy Morgan Foundation in studio. How are you?
Hi, Jay. Thanks for inviting us in again today.
Thanks for coming in on this Saturday afternoon. It's a nice day, isn't it?
Yeah, it's lovely. Lovely.
A bit cold, but sure to be expected this time of the year, what?
Yeah.
So firstly, Joanne, tell us a little bit about the Andy Morgan Foundation and what you guys do.
Well, the Andy Morgan Foundation was set up, I think, over 2 years ago. My partner, Andy, died. He committed suicide. It'd be 4 years this year, New Year's Eve. He'd be 4 years dead. And a couple of months after he died, I made a documentary about about our story. When that story came out on Facebook, a lot of people wrote in to me and asked, could they help and what could we do? So we set up the Andy Morgan Foundation. That's how I met Angie here beside me. She came one day looking for sponsor cards to... Mm-hmm. get a few bob to help us, and she hasn't left since.
can't get rid of her. And tell us a little bit about the video that kind of launched the Andy Morgan Foundation. Were you surprised with the big reaction that it got?
Yeah, to be honest, I didn't know much about YouTube or stuff like that at the time. And when the guy made it, Philip McGibney, he actually worked here from, it was Near FM guys that actually made
Near
the video.
TV, yeah.
So when it went up on YouTube, it just went crazy. I was getting messages from all over the world from people that were after looking at it, and people like myself that had been through the same similar story. And no, it was just great to see I couldn't believe it. I thought like maybe when it comes out, it'll be just my family and a couple of my friends and Andy's friends that would see it. Yeah, we were very shocked with the reaction from it. And I've got a lot of messages from people that have said that has actually helped save their own lives because it made them realise what they would be leaving behind if they had went and done the same thing as Andy.
Annie, are you still getting comments and messages of people from that video to this day?
A lot of people that would have wrote to me from back then that would still be in contact with me that I met through that video, people that watched it. So they would still on and off write to me. And a lot of them say that when they're feeling down, they'll just look over it again, you know, and it just kind of gives them that little boost that there is hope and to hang on in there a little bit longer and hopefully to get themselves a bit stronger. So it does have a lot of effect in that way.
And at the time, would it have been a tough decision to make that video and talk so openly? Was it a hard decision to make?
Well, the hard part for me was actually sitting in front of a camera because I even hated photographs at the time. And we'd done an interview because we'd done a football tournament the year after Andy died, and we came in here to do an interview, and it was pre-recorded, and I had to listen back to it then when I came on a few days later. And I remember nearly dying sitting at home listening to it. I was cringing listening to my voice. It was actually making me sick. And that I was a bit nervous then when they approached us to do the video. I was a bit aware and a bit conscious, very self-conscious about doing it. But like the lads that made it and Philip, it just made me so comfortable that I didn't feel there was a camera there.
Yeah.
It wasn't facing straight. My face was over a little bit to the left of me. But it was just such a natural thing to do.
Because the video does come across very, very real. It doesn't seem like there's anything put on, you know what I mean? Like this, you wouldn't even think that there was a camera there, as you say yourself.
It was probably one of the best things that I've done because I remember when Andy died first, I was searching for people who had lost someone to suicide to just ask them questions. So I didn't feel so alone in it. And nobody that I spoke to was able to talk much about it. They'd clam up and I couldn't understand this, where it was so natural for me to always talk about it because... Like Andy was very out straight in life, and I was thinking of his character, and I knew that had it been the other way around, had it been me that died and not him, he would have told everybody to, you know, I won't curse here, but like, you know, if they'd have said that, and I was doing it for him because I just wanted to help other people as well, and I was mostly looking for help for myself. Like there's nobody out there to help you. When it happens to you, you know, you have your friends and your family and, like, you know, I have a big family and great support from them, but there's just something inside you that's searching for this answer. Yeah. Now, it turns out there is no answer, you know. You'll never find the answer, but acceptance. But you're looking for other people like you that's been through it. I remember that so strong that it was nearly drove. It was like a quest that I was on that nearly drove me
insane.
So
that would have been one of your biggest motivations at the start of the Andy Morgan Foundation, was to kind of get people connected and to talk.
Yeah,
more
and for them to be real and out straight. Mm-hmm. And in the video, I say that at the last few moments when I spoke to Andy, we were outside the pub and he was round with my brother-in-law, and I was so embarrassed over it. And I screamed at Andy and I told him, "That's it now, Morgan, we're finished." Mm-hmm. And I said that in the video because I knew, and I had met some people afterwards that had got into arguments with people, and then that person would go off and take their own life. And they're left for the rest of their lives feeling that it was their fault, that they took on all this guilt. So I had to be honest in it. I had to be real, because if I wasn't, people wouldn't have connected to the video and to me, and it told me then their own stories and stuff. So I think in this this whole thing, you have to be truthful, you have to be honest, and you have to say it as it is. And like the way us Irish normally do it, we sweep things under the carpet.
I don't have
any carpet, so you know, that's how it works for us, because we're real and people relate to that, because you know, they're going through the same things themselves.
Angie, tell us a bit about your motivation with getting involved with the Andy Morgan Foundation.
I know people from Finglas, where I'm from, and friends of mine that committed suicide. So when I seen Joanne's story, there was something in it that she said about Andy, wasn't it? About his man and dad dying when they were very young, and I lost my auntie too when I was young. So I kind of related to that. And I think there's a lot of people in Finglas that feel that they have nothing. And I think it's like everybody is swept with the one brush, that you're from Finglas and you never get anywhere. Mm-hmm. And I said, look, if you can try and make a difference in some way, bring something positive into the area, I'll do what I can. And when I seen Joanne's video, I was like, grand, that's what I'll do. And a lot of people in Finglas have died by suicide. Mm-hmm. So that was kind of my way of getting involved.
And you've basically given your life to the foundation at this stage, really, haven't you?
Yeah. The two of us have, yeah.
Yeah, life and soul.
Yeah.
And what would you say would be the most rewarding aspect of working with the animals?
Actually, I only told Joanne this the other day. There's a girl, we done a wall of hope for a family in Finglas, and the girl's sister actually checked into a clinic and she's getting herself some help, and she rang a family member of mine and said that if it wasn't for us and for us listening to her, that she wouldn't have got the help she needed and she wouldn't have come how far she has come. And when I said that, I was like, that's better than any paid job. Hearing little things like that means so much.
It means more than money, really.
Sometimes we doubt ourselves saying, God, are we actually doing that? Because it is 24/7. It's all the time. The other night we got a phone call at 2:30 in the morning, and it's just constant. But we do love what we do because we are helping someone. It is making a difference in people's lives. Even though sometimes we might doubt ourselves and go, what are we doing? We've no life ourselves, but this is our life.
And is there ever any times where you say, oh, I can't do this anymore, or this isn't for me?
Well, I got to that point there, Jay, a couple of weeks ago, where I just felt burnt out from it. And I felt I had no more to give to anybody. And I was just exhausted. Having a paw to pee in either myself, you know what I mean? So myself and Ange will be, you know, whatever money we have between us, we're looking for petrol and that.
Yeah.
In our own personal life, we don't have a job. So it just got to a stage for me where I had nothing, I had no money, and, you know, I was struggling. And I just felt burnt down. I thought, well, if I'm feeling so low on myself, how can I help anyone else? And what I do is, on the wall of hope that we have, where we go around buildings and put up projectors of positive quotes and photographs of loved ones who've died by suicide, I talk to them when I'm at my low points, including Andy.
What would you mean, talk to them?
I talk to them in my head, you know, because we would see them as part of our team, because they kind of guide us, I believe, into the work that we're doing. And we're trying to help their families.
This is people that have passed away.
This is people that's passed, yeah. We, we're trying to help their families that are left behind, because they're the ones that's left struggling now and trying to rebuild their lives. So when I'm feeling low, I just say to them, lads, look, we call them our army of angels.
Mm-hmm.
I said, lads, I don't know where I'm going. I feel as if there was no doors opening for me. I just felt as if I was being trapped by life, and I just didn't know what way to turn. And I hand all my problems to them when I feel that I'm getting to a stage where I can't see a way out or a way forward. And I let it go to them, and, you know, a day or two later, something good will come in.
And tell us a little bit about what happened when you did kind of ask them to give you a hand.
Well, that was only a couple of weeks ago, and I said it to them one night, and I actually cried, was lying in the bed, and I cried because I'm asking myself, you know, because as Ange said, it's like that we give up our entire life for the foundation. It sometimes feels as if there's nothing else to us except the foundation. And I was lying there going, is this it? Is this my life? Am I going to be just here on my own with my kids trying to do the foundation and get on with my own life as well? And I pictured them in my mind because, you know, we'd see their faces coming up a lot of times in different events that we do. So I visualised them in my mind, and I just said, look, lads, I can't... You just need to give us a dig out here. I don't know where next to go. And the next day we got a text to say that we were nominated for a fund in Tesco's where they have the cylinders, and when you get your shopping, you're given a token and you pick out these three charities. And I was like, oh, that's brilliant. We didn't even know that anyone had nominated us. And it was a girl that works there that had seen our page, and she likes the kind of stuff that we do, and she had lost some of her own family members. So I thought, well, that's a good sign.
Mm-hmm.
And then we get a call off a friend of ours, who his daughter was doing a thing in the school, which they actually done yesterday. It was non-uniform day, and they sold their bands for €2, and they made over €600.
Fantastic.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
And then also we get a text from Pins and Needles tattoo shop in Fisborough, and they're going to be doing a fundraising day for us in November. And
we'll
then also the church up in Finglas West, they wanted us to bring our Wall of Hope in there to do a service for them. So it all started kind of building back up again. And with that, you get the messages from the people on Facebook that are telling you that you're helping them. And that's when you realise, well, you know, it's not all about me, Joe. Stop feeling sorry for yourself. There's people out there that need our help, so.
And would you 100% believe that those people that passed away are helping you, and wasn't just a coincidence that night?
No, definitely. Definitely do.
And what makes you feel so strong about, like, what makes you think that they definitely are and that?
Because when we see their pictures up on the wall, you get a sense of each and every one of them, that you kind of know them.
You know their story. When their family send the pictures, they tell you about their loved one and how they died or the run up to it. And when you just see that pictures, it's like you are there with them.
Yeah.
It's a mad feeling that you can't explain, but even when they come up, sometimes the names are so small and we'd still know. Before we even see the name, we'd say, oh, that's Andy, or that's Lee.
Would both of you feel this connection to those...
Yeah, definitely. And sometimes for me, it's like I don't want to let them down, because if I let them down, or we let them down, we're letting their families down, you know. And like when we started this off, people were afraid to give over the photographs because they were afraid that their neighbours or somebody might see them. I mean, I think we only had 5 photographs at the beginning, because people were just embarrassed. Not embarrassed, but they...
Just that stigma, really.
The stigma, they couldn't talk about it, and they were more worried what people would think if they seen this person on the wall. Mm. But as it kind of went along now, we've over 100 photographs.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. And some of them are from women over in America, and we'll use her son's photograph all the time.
Mm-hmm.
And when we put up videos of an event that we've done, and if she sees her son is on it, that gives her so much healing. You know, from America. Yeah. We had a lady over from Australia there a couple of weeks ago.
Did she come over?
She was over here on holiday,
mm-hmm.
and she lost her son to suicide. She'd given us her photograph about a year ago, So we've used his photograph every time we'd do a Wall of Hope. And when she was over here on holidays, we'd done a Wall of Hope just specifically for her.
Oh, fantastic.
And her family are from Ireland. So when she came over, they all arrived and they all had balloons. Mm. And it was a really special.
It was lovely.
Yeah.
It was lovely.
You know, so for us, doing something like that means the world to us as well. Because that woman just stood there and she couldn't believe that, you know, here's a different country and people are celebrating her son's life by remembering him. And, you know, it was really special.
Yeah.
It'll always stick out in my mind, yeah.
So, guys, tell us a little bit about events that are coming up that people can get involved in and help out and maybe even just attend.
Right, well, the next event that we have is Halloween night next Friday. We have a fancy dress party in the Quarry pub in Ballygall. There's Sam and Paddy Ward, father and daughter, are arranging this fundraising night for us. So it's €5 entrance and there's DJ and from 8 o'clock there's a raffle there and there's a lot of prizes there to be given out on the night. So should be a good night.
Should be a good one. Yeah. Fancy dress.
Fancy dress and there's a prize there for the best costume and stuff.
What's the prize?
We don't know.
It's a surprise.
PS4, is it? Because I'll be going along with this.
Then we're in Finglas at the Finglas Halloween Festival the Fright Night. And then Joanne's in Ballymun.
Yeah, and the same night, yeah. We'll be selling bands. We have Give Life a Chance bands that we sell. Mm-hmm. And then we'll head on down to the...
To the quarry
afterwards, yeah.
So you'll be all over the place on Halloween.
Yeah.
Oh, we'll be rushing. Yeah. And then, what is it? The 9th, isn't it? The 9th of November. The tattoo shop.
This is the big one now, isn't it? There's a big one coming up.
Yeah. It's going to be brilliant. Pins and Needles in Fisborough. And Balbriggan are going to be doing a fundraiser.
Both shops?
Yeah.
Pins and Needles and
Fisborough. Both shops,
okay, yeah.
So they've given people a choice of maybe 12 or more tattoos to pick out on the day.
Mm-hmm.
And they're going to be charging €25 for a tattoo.
That's fantastic.
So if the people look on the page or Pins and Needles page, they'll see the tattoos. But it's really for anybody that wants to get a tattoo in memory of a loved one that's passed through suicide, or anyone that's struggling with depression, you know, they can get a symbol for strength or a hope or whatever like that. And they also have sponsor cards down there. So if people get a sponsor card and get €25 on the card, well, that will pay for their tattoo.
Oh, yeah. Brilliant. And I think there's something happening on the night as well then after.
A night, aren't they, in the... the pub that, well, it used to be called the Red Windmill. I'm not sure what it's called now. Just next door to them anyway.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And they have a few bands on and I think they have raffle tickets going on in there for a few prizes as well. Now, fair play to them. They've been great.
Yeah, that's going to be fantastic. So people can go along, get a tattoo, and they're also helping out the foundation.
Oh. Yeah.
And,
yeah.
Pins and Needles are kind of holding this event for you.
Yeah, they're holding it. And they were saying that, like, if there's a queue outside during the day, the pub next door to them is going to be giving out free tea, coffee and sandwiches, like, so people don't have to stand there in the cold, so they can go in there. They're brilliant. Absolutely.
It's an awesome price as well for a tattoo, because usually the minimum price for a tattoo, I know, is about €50, you know.
€50,
so
yeah.
It's fantastic.
Yeah, and they were saying, like, that if anyone wanted to get their name on of a loved one that died, they can go in and get the name written down on a tattoo as well for it. €25 as well.
That's fantastic. Yeah, fair play to them. And I'm sure that's going to be a great day. Is there anything else coming up other than that, them two?
The 14th of November, we're in Darndale. We're doing a Wall of Hope down there.
Mm-hmm.
And the 17th of November, then we're in Finglas with the Annunciation Church and Kiol, the choir. And we're going to have a remembrance service for those who died by suicide, the families left behind. So really looking forward to that.
Yeah, it's one real special. Yeah. And one of the girls, we have a drop-in centre. We have two drop-in centres, one in Finglas and Ballymun. Mm-hmm. And we have a few girls that come up to Finglas from the school in St. Michael's.
Mm.
And one of them is a fantastic singer. So she's going to sing in the church for the first time, singing in front of a big crowd like that.
Yeah.
Oh, brilliant.
And she's the voice of an angel.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
And what's the times for the... times and locations for the drop-in centre in case people want to come in and have a chat with you guys?
Well, Ballymun on a Wednesday is from 6 to 8 in the Civic Building. When they go in the door, the security guard will show them where to go on the first floor. And in Finglas, it's in Cross Care Building next door to the Citizens Advice, opposite from the bottom of the hill.
Fantastic.
And that's from 10 to 12 every Friday.
And if people want to check it out on social media to keep up with what you guys are doing, where should they go?
The like page, the Andy Morgan Foundation.
The Andy Morgan Foundation, yeah. On Facebook. So be sure to give that a view and a like there, folks. So before I let you go, is there any messages of hope you'd like to give to somebody maybe who's listening, who's struggling with a hard time at the minute?
Well, I mean, I'd say if there's someone that's struggling, the first thing you got to do is you got to speak out. Mm-hmm. You know, you got to talk to somebody. A lot of people don't like talking to their own family members or even some of their friends, but there's always someone out there that will listen. There's always somebody out there that will care, but they have to speak out. Mm-hmm. You know, they have to talk, because when you keep it in yourself, it just doubles up and it becomes such a dark place that small problems become huge inside your own mind. And by sharing it with somebody, that for me, that's half the battle, you know, is getting it out, speaking out and getting it out. There's loads of different helplines everywhere for different crowds, PA to House, Console. SOS, there's loads, you know what I mean? Your own GP, anybody, yeah. It doesn't matter who it is, just get it out, speak out, and don't keep every problem to yourself, because it doesn't work. On that note,
we'll leave it there. And thanks very much, Angie and Joanne, for coming today. And I'm sure you have helped a lot of people with this chat alone. So I hope to get along to the events, and I'll be doing my best to promote it for you guys. We'll take a track now. That was Angie McAvoy and Joanne Featherston from the Andy Morgan Foundation.